Father, we give you thanks and I give you praise. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our seat. You're welcome in Jesus' name. It's a special day today. We have in our presence here, our senior pastor of Covenant Christian Center, Pastor Kwadwo Yemade. Before we proceed, I would like to say a few things, which is very important. Personally, in my life as a person, I would like to say this. The steps and the insight I've had as a person into the Word of God is based on the teachings that I've learnt directly from Him. I grew up in a traditional setting, a traditional church, in Christianity, and so when I came in contact with Pastor, that I began to understand how vital it is and how relevant the Word of God is practically to you as a person in your daily walk. In fact, he used to say then in those days when we first started that I will be happier if I hear that you're practicing God's word in your closet than you coming every day and sitting in the pews and listening and not actually doing it. See, that struck a great chord in me and that changed my paradigm regarding the practice of Christianity. In my life as a person, the major steps, the major breakthroughs I've had when I was in trouble, I can recount I've told the stories many times, that specific words and instructions I've received from his teaching that have actually given me the right, that God has used to actually point me in the right direction. So today, what I want you to do, because this is a ministry that teaches you practically what to do regarding the situations of your life, open your ears and let the Holy Ghost show you as the word comes forth the steps and the things you ought to do in this particular season of your life. And God is going to minister to you at that point in Jesus' name. So listen for the instructions and you will receive that thing and you will go out of here knowing exactly what to do. Now welcome our senior pastor, Pastor Kwadwo Yemade. Amen.
Amen. All right. First of all, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the presence of your spirit in this place. We thank you for the gathering of your people. And I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will grant utterance, that I will speak as your oracle, that your word will go forth in simplicity, but with accuracy and in power. And our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let me say good morning to you. You didn't tell me you had a safe pulpit. We ordered this in Lagos and you co-opted it here. So I was wondering what's going on. I just looked up. All right then. Okay. This morning I thought I was going to share something else, but after praying, I believe that was guided to these scriptures. So I want to share. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 1. Or chapter 2. Now, in life, you know, when we talk about the exercise of faith, which is right, as faith being the substance of things that we hope for, we are vision-oriented, which means that we teach from the standpoint of having a vision and using the steps of faith to actualize the vision that God has placed in your heart. But this morning, I just want to share from another perspective that what to do when things seemingly go wrong that you weren't expecting. All right? That is, it's a great dimension to faith for your destiny. Like I read somewhere many years ago, that life begins when you experience an accident to your own dream. In other words, what you planned and how you planned it to happen, when that collapses, then it's almost like that's when you know, what God intended begins to evolve. You know, Joseph never planned on what he experienced. Joseph never knew he was going to be thrown into the pit. Joseph never knew when he got into Potiphar's house and it seemed like his life was, you know, getting together, that he'll be lied upon and sent into jail. And with all of that, we saw the hand of God eventually walking in the midst of everything and bringing him to a place that he could not have imagined he was going to get into when he woke up that morning. That he wasn't just going to be about coming out of jail, but it was about, you know, becoming the prime minister of the land. Now, let me just say something. Just came to my heart. I was meditating on something yesterday and I saw it. Let me just say something. Not part of my message, but let me just say this. That it's important to do something. Now, people make a mistake here, but they get it right and then take the wrong step. Joseph, after he interpreted the dream and the chief butler was going to be released, Joseph rightly sensed, he was right, that through the chief butler, he was going to experience his deliverance. He sensed it. Which meant, I said, mention it to the king. And that was actually what God planned. Joseph sensed it. But the mistake that he made was that he put pressure on the chief butler to do something about it. Same way Moses sensed in his heart that it was through him the nation of Israel will be delivered. But then he now decided in his own hand to effect it. So there are times where you sense things in your heart that are right. Instead of using the arm of flesh, trying to sense it that, you know, this is a relationship that will evolve into something. That this person you've met us, what's going on here, will evolve into something. That it's best, instead of trying to work it out, just to ask God to fulfill what he has placed inside your heart. You understand that? Right? Just, this happened to me some years ago. I went in France and I met someone, and I sensed that this was going to matter to my destiny. Right? But I saw it fit not to mention it to them. But that God should act on what he had dropped in my heart. The same way, because the way and manner in which Moses eventually led the children of Israel out was beyond, he got it right, but, you know, but beyond his imagination. Only ever felt that it would be through a staff in his hand that the Red Sea was going to part. Alright? So when we say things in what we are doing, voicing it out, that will create pressure on human beings to act towards us in a certain way, it's best that we place the matter before God and ask God, alright, to unveil and reveal himself, right, in the way and manner in which he has shown you inside his heart. So we have that. We also have various people. I mean, if you looked at Ruth and the situation that Ruth was confronted with, Ruth was a Moabite, and she eventually, this was a tribe that God said the nation of Israel, they shouldn't marry. And eventually, I mean, since that she had loss of her husband, she went, you know, and followed her mother-in-law. Eventually, she became the grandmother of David. And I'm sure she had no idea about that. Okay? All right? David also, when he felt everything was working out, suddenly found himself in a cave. Right? So where people experience things. And if we don't speak to that area, what happens is, and we sometimes just make it do it, and people encounter those kind of things, then what happens is, you know, they might get angry, they might say things, and then abort what God has planned and what he wants to do. So if you look at Hebrews here, chapter 2, I just want to share on certain things. Hebrews chapter 2. We find here that one thing Jesus did, says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He says, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and then deliver them who through the fear of it were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus went in to deliver his work here, people from the fear of it. Now, what's the fear of death? Death in the New Testament, even in scriptures, hardly means when they use the word death, right? When it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it really does it mean, alright, that a physical life ceases to exist. When God told Adam, in the day you eat of this fruit, you shall die, he wasn't saying that Adam will cease to exist. Death in scripture will mean that there is a separation and a loss that will be suffered by that separation. So if a plant is removed from where it's rooted, then there is a separation and there will be a loss that will be suffered by reason of it. So a person, alright, goes through certain things and he believes that if I'm separated from this particular thing, then what is going to happen is that there will be a total deterioration in my life and there will be great consequence. So, there is that fear of experiencing that kind of thing in life, where people have that fear on the inside, where they don't know what to do, alright, in exact terms. What do I do if I am suddenly confronted with a situation where I'm separated from something that has been the means or the means through which, you know, everything around me, the circumstances around me are shaped? Which means that this is the connection that is in my life that is causing all these things that people are saying on the outside to be in existence. What if I'm separated from this? So when Moses was separated from Egypt and he went there, he experienced that there was a loss of certain things, which means that a total deterioration, alright, and how did Moses come out of that? David also was separated, he was in the cave, how did he come out of that? And it is through experiences like this that we have what is called the resurrection power, which means that as Christ was raised, the Spirit of God within us, it is inside us to raise us out of such situations and to bring us into the destiny that God himself has ordained for us. So what's the method? What do I do when I'm confronted with things like this? There are definite steps in the Word of God that makes it clear that death has actually been conquered. That if I confront anything in life, right, I go through anything in life, I am sure, right? As Bible says, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I go through all kinds of separation. I am sure that I will end up with a table prepared before me and my cup is actually going to run over. Which means that if something happens and I lose my job, all right, I am sure in the Holy Ghost that there is not going to be a deterioration in the condition of my life, but I'm going to enter into something that God has prepared for me and that my cup is going to run over. So that fear of being intimidated by things on the outside is completely gone. That is, I've come to understand that any time, and we will experience separation from things from time to time, that when this occurs, right, something, the Holy Ghost is going to raise up something out of situations like that, and I'm going to enter into the destiny that God has ordained for me. You know, an experiment was conducted in the 40s in Johns Hopkins University, and the experiment was that there were insects that they put in a potted plant, and what they wanted to find out was the process of death in those insects. They wanted to study how everything they will deteriorate and eventually die. And so they put this potted plant and put this beaker and put this insects in the potted plant. Alright, inside the beaker where the potted plant was, knowing fully well that they were going to feed on the particular plant and then after some time, that source of nourishment will go. And then after they finished eating it, they now wanted to see the behavioral pattern of the insects what will happen, right, until they eventually die. So they placed that under the microscope. And what they found out was that when they finished eating, they had been studying these insects all their lives, and they just went to study this plant. When they finished with the potted plant there, and they started observing, they noticed that those insects started changing from on the inside. Finally, they said they changed into flying, small, little flying creatures. Flew out of that beaker, went to where there was some, another plant growing, and went there and started feeding. Now, throughout the history, their history of studying that insect, they didn't know the insect had the capability to transform itself from within into a creature that will fly out. In fact, they stopped saying insect. They said they became, all right, a flying creature. That's the way they narrated it. And they didn't know that. And what we are saying is that the truth about the matter, so they went through what was called metamorphosis, all right, and they evolved into something else. And what we're saying is that when the pressure is on, Jesus said it's out of your belly, which means that the Spirit of God on the inside of you will take you through a process. There will be a metamorphosis in your life. You will become somebody else that you didn't even think you are capable of being. In practice, all right, the Holy Spirit will bring out qualities from within that you didn't even know was in existence. That is, people, what you felt, you know, you won't be able to survive this. That if I lose this, I won't survive. We are saying, right, not only will you survive, you'll find out that really and truly, when next is this kind of thing happening? Because, all right, something massive is going to come out. But there's a process to this, all right? And it's something that should happen. And one of the things can get there is that it says you will be transformed. That what transformation is, you go through metamorphosis. Yeah. Which means that somebody looking at you today with the capability, your history, everything, predicts, like you have the caterpillar and says the caterpillar is not capable of flying. Because when we study it and analyze it, it doesn't have the capacity, neither does it have the ability to fly. And it will be a right statement. But then it goes through metamorphosis, and on the outside, what we once said some weeks back, you are not capable of doing, becomes the natural thing that you can do. So there's a process of renewal of your mind, all right? That you get to a point where what was impossible now becomes what is naturally accessible, all right? So we'll go through things like this. There'll be the separation there. And this is what God did with Aaron. When the Bible says Aaron's rod that budded. All right? When they were contesting, God said, all right, there's no problem about this. Okay? You know what? Tell every of the tribes to go and get, you know, a branch. Let them cut it off. Okay? Off the stem, cut it off. And they should all hold it. They should remove all the leaves, remove all the flowers, and then they should lay it bare. And there's no connection, all right, between that branch and anything. No root. No connection. Now, you know what? He said, Aaron, tell all of them to bring it into my presence. All right? And then 24 hours after, let's see what will happen. They came back 24 hours after with a hanging branch. Flowers were there. Fruits were there. No connection. We are saying that they look at your life and cannot find the connection. Everything that they feel should make you fruitful has been naturally cut off. So you are giving evidence to things that are not seen. Which is what faith is. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that people look at your life and for all intent and purpose, they cannot explain. They just look at it and say, listen, if he still had that connection, this may be over a period of time. Haven't gone through a natural process. But all the connection is not there. And in 24 hours. You understand what I'm saying here? Which means it's almost like Elijah saying, pour water upon the wood so that it will be naturally impossible. You will know it's God. All right? So Joseph still had the rape case. Yeah, you hope it wasn't cleared of the rape case. He had a rape case. All right? It's not like they said he's not like, he had a rape case. You think about it. Didn't anybody mention it to Pharaoh that this guy... This guy was charged for rape. He hasn't cleared the matter. Hasn't Potiphar's wife come out and say, listen, hold it, guys, what's going on? You are making him prime minister. No, you think about it in practical terms now. He had a rape case on him, and he was a foreigner. How someone who has a rape case and is a foreigner become the prime minister? So, what God wants to do with our lives is, he wants to, is that you have to have the courage now. To put you in a position where people look at you and say, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Alright? I just cannot understand. Alright? And to get into that realm, let me just say this. Right? The first thing is, we've got to understand, you know, this is what, now the root of it is found in Romans chapter, let me just show you, Romans chapter 8. Now, and this is what you must get in your spirit. Very important. Romans 8, 31. It says, what shall we say then, or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, you have to burn that into your spirit by constantly repeating it to yourself in your private time. No matter what happens, God is never against you. Look, get this. Listen, Satan's catch is, let them think that God is so offended with them that he's behind what is going on. Alright? Okay? I mean, when people talk about a thorn in the flesh, even Paul said it was the messenger of Satan that was sent. When somebody is someone's messenger, it means that it's that person who sent. It's not God. Okay? So he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely gave us what? All things. Now, this is what you need to get. Because you go through things, people start laying things to your charge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here? You go through that kind of experience, the first thing that happens is that people start laying things to your charge to make you feel that there's something you've offended. Do you get what I'm saying? Here? Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that does what? Justifies. And God said, I've sent Jesus, the blood has cleared you. Who shall condemn? It is Christ that died, yea, that rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, not condemning, but making intercession. Which means that picture Jesus saying, you are coming out. Now, you picture what Jesus doing. The business of Jesus at the right hand of the Father is to make sure you are out of that situation. Then let's go on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, this is what you need to understand. You can be separated from anything, but nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. That's what we need to get. That's why it says faith works by love. It's by that love. Knowing the love that God has and that you cannot be separated. You can separate me from my job, but you can't separate me from the love of Jesus. Which means after you remove the job, the love of Jesus for me will be manifested. Alright? Separate me from anything, you give Jesus the opportunity to show how much he loves me. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of the sword? As it is written, which means that when we are separated from things, this is what is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted by men as sheep for slaughter. Which means when the separation occurs, men say, that's the end. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, said Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me just say something, because I don't think I'll get to this, but let me just say this here. Alright? People that manifest unusual confidence in the face of difficulty, people that carry themselves with quietness, confidence, and inner strength, that all will be well, regardless of what's happening. It's a direct product of the amount of times they privately repeat to themselves promises that are known to everybody, but they never tell themselves. Strong people talk to themselves God's word. That's it. It's clear. Listen, there was this person that sent something to me, and he said, there's a theory when I taught on something, said, there is a theory, that's why Bible says that the word that they heard did not profit, not being mixed with faith that heard it. Paul, speaking in Romans, said, Elijah said, we have preached, our words have gone to the end of the earth. Why have they not believed our reports? Paul said, this is the reason why. He said, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, the word he used there, was by the rhema. That word rhema means by the word that is spoken out of your lips. So the faith, he said, these people, you spoke the word, you preached the word, but that word gets on their own lips. They heard it when you said it, but they never heard themselves saying it to themselves. So it's important that privately you say to yourself, if God be for me, and you put your name there, who can be against me? Nothing can separate, that you put your name there, from the love of Jesus Christ. I might be accounted by men, but in all things, and you repeat it until you build into yourself images of you being more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For what you hear, you will forget. What you see, you will remember. Alright? It's so, if because of time, but Peter said this. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Everybody said that. That you would do well to take heed unto as a light that shines in a dark place. Oh, before he said that, I'm going to. He said, we were with him on the Holy Mount, and he spoke about us beholding, alright, his majesty. I'm just reading it. When there came such a voice from excellent glory, saying that this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. It says that the point I want to bring out, it says here in verse 16, 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now it says were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses, which means we saw something. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory, saying, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So the Bible says he received honor and glory when there came a voice. But when that voice came, he said, what happened was that we are eyewitness of the glory that came through the voice. You understand this? So whatever the voice is saying, you must see it. You get what I'm saying? He didn't just say we heard. He said we were eyewitnesses. But how did the majesty that we saw, how did it come? It came through a voice. So whatever you hear, your eye has to be a witness. You must see it. That's why 1 John says, that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have done what? Looked upon. That's why James said, don't be hearers only, that you must become seers. It says, because a man who is a hearer only beholds himself and then goes and forgets. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look into it, that man will be a doer. You understand this? Well, we'll get to that. All right? So what do you do? All right? When there's a separation. Quickly, let me just say this. Very important. listen. If we ask David, sorry, Joseph, when he was thrown into prison, that don't be angry because this is where you're going to make a connection to become prime minister. He won't have. Alright? So please be slow to speak. When you, as they say, I'm writing something called the Miranda Rights, when it says, you reserve the right to remain quiet until your lawyer comes. Until your lawyer, the Holy Spirit, comes, keep quiet. For anything you say will be used against you in the court of law. So when things happen, all right, first thing, keep quiet. If it is so deep that you can't say the right thing, don't say anything. All right? Be slow to speak. He goes on and says, be quick to hear first, which means start listening, you will need more information. And he says, please be slow to wrath. Don't get angry at anybody involved in it. For the wrath of man, the anger of man, will never work the righteousness of God. Alright? Getting angry and all of that will never work the righteousness of God. The Bible says, he that walketh in law keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Alright? So, walk in the love of God. Right? Keep yourself in God's love. Don't, there is more to it than meets the eye. Alright? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. The resurrection power is going to produce something. Don't, you know, abort the entire thing God wants to do by, like they say, loose lips sink ships. Don't open and run your mouth and sink the ship of your life. Alright? So, don't start quiet, be slow to speak, be quick to hear, be slow, alright, to anger. Number two, because we are dealing with matters, this is a matter of destiny and you do not know what will happen, or what God has prepared at the beginning. Let me say this. The methods you have used in the past to work out God's power in your life will not fit this case. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright, let me explain it. When a baby is born, and this is where changes and adjustments, it's very difficult to make an adjustment except there is something that compels it. The baby is born. First thing the mother wants to hear is the cry of the baby. The cry shows there's life. So she's happy that baby's crying. And so the baby, as the baby starts growing, understands after some time that if I want to eat, I will cry and my mother will get what I'm supposed to eat. And she responds. So crying becomes your way of communicating. Crying becomes your way of controlling authority figures around you. Now, when I cry this way, they will move. So you master the art of communicating through crying. But then one day comes and you cry, and suddenly they say, stop crying. So this is what's going on here. And what you were using to get everything, people are now pushing back on that. So really and truly, the baby is confused of what's going on. Which means that you are not going to get anything again by crying. There is another way in which you must learn how to communicate. Alright? Now, everybody will continue doing what they're doing until some crisis comes. And the crisis is an indication that the way you have been behaving is no longer acceptable. You are going to another level of glory. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that when you are hit with that kind of thing, don't just keep repeating what you know to do. Let me give an example. You think about this. I want to get to this. What you do? When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, didn't they pray? They prayed and they sang praises. That night, there was an earthquake and they came out. Are you telling me that the next time they threw Paul into prison, he didn't write. No, you say he didn't write? He prayed. He sang and sang. Nothing happened. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah? I sang. What's going on? But we prayed within 1 hour, the whole place was shaking. And we sang. Now let me show something here. Go to Philippians, see what he did. Philippians chapter 4. Now we must remember, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. 20 minutes, so let me quickly. Philippians 1 and 8. 1 and 19. Now, this was Paul in prison, and let's just read 1:14. And many of my brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, some of goodwill. But one preached Christ contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. So he was in prison, and he was saying that. And then he went on. And then in verse 19 it says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That is the prison experience. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So he had that expectation that I'm not going to be ashamed in anything. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul said, I know this shall turn to my salvation. And you can say that boldly. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing and always, right, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. Now, but he said, this is what I'm praying about, for a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, just run through about three scriptures quickly. What did it mean by the supply of the Spirit of Jesus? If we go back to Galatians chapter 3, Paul said in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive, alright, the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Paul didn't say that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He said the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive, and what's that blessing? The promise of the Spirit through faith. And then he now went on in verse 16 just to show that there's a difference between blessings and blessing, and the blessing. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. So here it speaks about the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 39. It says, and all this having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. Now, but look at what it says. It says, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained what? Promises. Stopped the mouth of lions. But when it gets to 39, it says, all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the what? The promise. So there was one promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Which means that, alright, they received promises, they got up things, but the Holy Spirit never came to inhabit and became the dwelling place. Their own temples were always on the outside. Right? It's for the first time the Holy Spirit came to dwell on there. As I just said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, so what God has provided in this New Testament is the blessing. And that's why the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. So it's the blessing that produces. Now, I want to see what this blessing is, so we understand it. So it's a blessing, and the blessing is the promise of the Spirit. So Paul, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers, and he said, the supply, which means the blessing that is going to come into my life. I am certain, right, that I will not be ashamed, but Christ is going to be magnified in my life. Now, what's this blessing here? Let's look at Isaiah, I believe, and chapter 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is what? Thirsty. And floods upon thy what? Dry ground. And this is where Jesus got, I mean, if he says, according, if you read what Jesus said in John 7, said, according to that which is written, as scripture said, out of his belly. This is what he was referring to. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my what? Blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring forth. Now, so here's what Paul was saying, that Paul came to realize. If the supply of the Spirit is like pouring water upon dry ground, floods upon dry ground, water there, and then it goes on and says they shall spring forth. Now, if we put down, if you go where there's just dry ground, the truth of the matter is that we don't know what is planted in there because it's dry. It's when we begin to pour water that what is contained in that thing now starts revealing itself. So in any situation that is like dry ground, you don't know what is in there. Are you following what I'm saying? Joseph didn't know that from this prison experience, what was planted right here is becoming Prime Minister of Egypt. Are you following? It was dry ground. This is barren land. How can I be in prison? Who am I going to meet in prison that is capable of even getting me out of prison? It's somebody that is out of prison that should be. I mean, we're both in the same. Who is capable of that? I mean, if we're going to go naturally, that's the worst place to network. Nobody's going to get you. All right? You couldn't even imagine it. But right there was the experience of him becoming prime minister. So, before you declare, you can say, in this situation, I will not be ashamed. Christ will be magnified in my body. By life. So, you declare that. Right? But the details wait until the Spirit is poured out. Let me show you another scripture. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Verse 13. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns, briars, ye upon the house of joy. Because the palace shall be forsaken, the multitude shall be left. And forts and the joy of wild asses and the pasture of flocks. What do you say? Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Then the wilderness shall become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field shall be counted as a forest. So what he's saying here is that if you keep pouring the Spirit upon barrenness, you will start seeing things come out from it. Now, this is what Paul discovered. And as there's an outpouring of the Spirit, in order for the earth to yield its increase, which is what he did, he rejoiced and the earth. So, I'm sure when Paul prayed and rejoiced, he didn't think there was going to be an earthquake. Alright? Alright? So anytime you pray that way, and you rejoice, something happens. Spirit is poured out. You mix it with rejoicing. The earth yields its increase. It might not be visible. It might not be what you were expecting. But something is going on. You know what happened to Paul? That he now realized. Because Paul was in prison and he said, listen, just read what Paul, where the space that Paul was in Philippians. I mean, you just think about this. This was a man that was in prison. Alright? He went on. He said in chapter 1, verse 12. He He went and said, but I would rather understand, brethren, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And then he went on and said, and many of brethren are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold, alright, to speak the word of God. And so he prayed that. Somewhere else he says, he said, I will not have you that you faint at my tribulation. Now, so what happened was that Paul must have prayed, started rejoicing, and felt the prison doors would open up. They didn't open up. But he had a witness in his heart that what he was doing was right. So he would pray, he would say, pray, say, that I know this would happen myself. But the way he thought it would happen, didn't. So one day, one of the guards came in and said, all right, dress up, Paul. You've got to meet some folks. And Paul dressed up thinking, well, maybe this is the way I'm going out. You know, anytime anything happens, we always create our own expectations. Then we get disappointed and say, what happened? Right? Because we had our own that God didn't tell you. So he got up and started going out. And then suddenly I said, well, the Roman Senate wants you to address them concerning what you believed. And then when Paul got there and stood before the entire Senate and started preaching, he said, hold it. I see what the Holy Ghost has done. There was no way on the outside. All these folks will have sat down and I'll have had the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire Roman Senate. The only way this could have happened was that I went in through this particular way. And so he started seeing the purpose of God getting fulfilled in that. Preaching in palaces, preaching from place to place, having access to people. So what I'm saying is that if you just allow the Spirit of God to keep coming on that situation and you're rejoicing, things will begin to happen. Alright, there will be movement in that particular place. Eventually he got his freedom. Eventually he came out. But I'm sure there was a lot that came around Paul based on what happened during that time. Just keep praying for the outpouring of the Spirit, alright, and you keep rejoicing. Let me just say one thing. The Spirit of God, right, the Bible says he will teach you all things. He will show you things to come. He will take the things of Jesus and show them unto you. So he'll begin to reveal to you scriptures. Okay? When it tells us that, when it tells us, alright, when it tells us there that in Isaiah 32, it speaks about the fact that until the Spirit be poured from on high, and then the wilderness will become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will become a forest. If we look at Isaiah 29:17, it says, it's not a very little while that Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed as a what? Forest. And in that day, what will happen? It says, the deaf will hear words of the book, the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity. And the meek. So what the Holy Spirit does, first of all, in you, is start opening the words of this book to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So you begin to get revelation. The next thing it does is that you start seeing. Like what we explained there. Right? You start seeing. It says, this book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of your mouth. You have to get God's word on your lips. Okay? That's only when it starts working. But thou shalt meditate upon it, that thou might observe, which means you start seeing the word of God. You start observing. You start seeing the word of God. The Bible says that the law of the Spirit is simply this. We all with an open face, which means with revelation from the word of God, are beholding as in a mirror that glory of the Lord. We will be changed into that same image. So the Spirit reveals that we might behold. And as you keep looking into it, that's why it says, don't let it depart from your eyes. This book of the law, it's somewhere it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings, which means begin to hear them. And the way to do this in practice is that you shut yourself up. And the scriptures that God has given to you, begin to hear those scriptures from your own lips. Begin to listen to those scriptures from your lips. You know, the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Okay? Staggered not at the promise of God. The powerful experience with God's word is not knowing the word, is eating the word. And like Kenneth Hagin said of blessed memory, he said, we eat the same things over and over and over. All right? You don't ask for something new. You just keep eating the same things almost throughout your entire life. So the important thing is not some is feeding on that word. And to feed on that word, it says, thy words were found, I did eat them. So you want to feed on the word of God. And to do that, to eat the word of God, right? Nobody can eat that word. You have to do it yourself. So you shut yourself up. And what you want to do there is that, first of all, you want to start hearing those words come out of your own lips. So you are saying the word of God to yourself to the point where a connection is now made between your mouth to your ears, and you are taken up by what you are listening to. And as you are listening to that, the Holy Spirit starts creating the visual expressions of that word inside you and starts showing you what it means. When he says, I'm patient and kind, he starts giving you images of walking in patience, responding to somebody that, you know, in a particular way, maybe prior to that time, a person will irritate you and you snap back, and then the Holy Spirit starts showing you, all right, responding to that person in a patient way. So that's what it means to be patient. And then at the same time, to be kind. So he shows you, you're doing something kind, a kind act to that individual. He's showing you those things, all right? You keep looking at those things, all right? Now, the same process in which the insect went through metamorphosis there and started growing wings, it took some time. So long as the word of God is being photographed on your heart, all right, you start growing the ability to become that thing that you are seeing. Are you following that? All right? Which means that you start growing. It's like you're growing wings. Okay, after some time, what you are looking at, you will be that very thing in life. So you keep, okay, that. It says, don't let it depart from your eyes. So you are doing that. You are speaking the word of God. You're saying that word to yourself, okay? Hearing. It says, their eyes will see out of obscurity. You start seeing the word of God as you are meditating upon that word. You begin to see the word of God. If you do that constantly, you are consistent in the practice of it. So the Holy Spirit begins to show. The Holy Spirit begins to show. The Holy Spirit begins to show. In fact, He will show you things to come. In other words, while you are meditating, the Holy Spirit will show you images of what's coming that you won't be able to tell anybody. And no human being will be, because it's a product of your private meditation. What people will believe is a general statement from the preacher. But now the Holy Spirit is putting that word into your heart. And then He begins to show you in specific times. So when those things begin to happen, you understand that the practice of meditating on God's word is an authentic thing. Which means the Holy Spirit actually paints exact pictures. And it gives you confidence. You know, once I was speaking with a doctor and was conducting a test. And he said, the person had lost some balance. And he said, look, there are three reasons why a person can lose their balance. He said, maybe they have some brain problem and they have a heart problem. And then he says, it's an air problem. But then he explained something to me and I understood what Abraham did. That the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How he conquered unbelief. He said, you use your outer air to hear. He says, but if you damage the inner air is for balance. He says, so once the inner air is damaged, the person loses balance. But the outer air is to hear. The inner air is for balance. Well, then I had understood from scriptures that the only time you hear with your inner air is when you speak. When any other person speaks, you hear with your outer ear. That's why if you record your voice and then play it back to yourself, it sounds different. Because you are hearing yourself for the first time with your outer ear. But when you talk, you are hearing with your what? Inner ear. So when he said the inner ear is for balance, I realized that in order not to stagger, so long as you are listening to the word from your own lips, you will never stagger. If you are listening to what somebody else is saying about the word of God, then you may stagger. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because it's the outer air. But if you are saying, so if you're walking through the valley of shadow of death and you constantly are saying to yourself, you are going through things, people ask you, so what's going on? How are you feeling? All right? If that's all, and you repeat that, and you need to start saying that, then your inner ear is picking that up. And then you say, but if you, right, before you go out that morning, said to yourself over and over for 30 minutes, though I walk through the valley, I shall fear no evil. Nothing will go wrong in this situation. The outcome of this is that God has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. The outcome of this is that my cup runs over. You have repeated that. You've heard that. Anybody says anything on the outside, you are solid.